12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins live from Olympia this morning, Jason.
Yeah, Senator Brad Hawkins, and we were just talking off my major cutoff point that I was talking about before the ABC News at the top of the hour. We can go into that if you want, but with that major cutoff point, if bills passed in the same House, are you guys pretty much collectively like tuckered out right now, Senator?
Yeah, that's to put it mildly. The House has been going until the early hours of the next morning on some of these days. Yeah. We've been going late, waking up early. As you mentioned, the whole legislature just passed a key cutoff date of March 8th. That was for bills to pass their House of Origin. So in the legislature, you can have House bills and you can have Senate bills, just depending on where they were first introduced. And by this date in the session, all through the committee process, there are certain cutoffs. But if bills don't make it out of their original chamber by this date, then unless they have a budgetary connection, then they are not advancing forward to the governor this session. So it was a major date. So we were in the Senate, we're trying to pass the Senate bills. Some of us on the Republican side were trying to stop the Senate bills from getting to the House. And then the House is working on the same thing to get their bills over to the Senate.
Yeah.
And then from this point on, the House bills, we kind of transfer back to committee process. So we begin to hear the House bills that pass the House in our Senate committees. And then in the House committees, they're starting to take up Senate-passed bills in their committees.
Right. Well, one of the major bills passed last night that just made that cutoff point was the assault weapons sales ban that the Democrats have been trying to do, I think, for 6 years now, finally passed, and that has momentum. So let's talk about some of the major, what you think, and I think I agree, are the major bills that are making progress right now.
Well, that other bill that you mentioned, that's definitely a major bill coming over to the Senate.
Yeah.
For the Senate, I would say going into the legislative session and then coming after this cutoff, the two most significant pieces of legislation that have cleared the Senate are the drug possession bill. That is a replacement to that Blake State Supreme Court decision from, I think, 2021. And then yesterday, the Senate approved a bill related to police pursuits or vehicle pursuits. And if you'll recall, back in 2021, there were a series of police reforms, and at that time, the law was changed from the standard that had always been in place for vehicle pursuits of reasonable suspicion. They increased it to a probable cause standard that created a lot of issues over the last couple of years. We've been trying to make some changes, and then yesterday, we achieved a bipartisan compromise to get a bill to the House, but it was not easy.
Wow. You know, okay, and that's the major thing is that phrase there from reasonable suspicion to probable cause and getting back to the lower level there, threshold of reasonable suspicion. And this is the Lubick bill, a Democrat who is a former state trooper, I believe. And
yes.
We got Dingra to go along with this, that chair, or what happened with that?
Well, it was interesting. So this is what happens in the legislative process. So the underlying bill was sponsored by Senator John Lubick. That's a bill that I would have loved to have seen approved. That bill number got approved, but the bill changed significantly on the Senate floor. And the reason it did is because Senator Monka Dingra offered a striking amendment to the bill, which basically, because the bill has the same theme and subject matter, she could completely offer an amendment that would completely replace the bill. And that she did do. And then the Republicans on our side, we were offering amendments to her striking amendment, which replaced the bill. And basically, back in original law, law enforcement officers could generally engage in vehicle pursuits if there were any violation of traffic laws or criminal laws. And then the probable cause standard came down a couple of years ago. And now, in Senator Dingra's striking amendment to her compromise bill, she reduced the standard back to reasonable suspicion, but she's only allowing police pursuits then for certain offenses. So like violent offenses, sexual offenses, vehicular assaults, domestic violence, driving under the influence. So it's a much more narrow authority under the reasonable suspicion than what was originally in place in law a few years ago. And the way I look at it is, basically, I would have preferred a lot more options. We offered some amendments to allow more opportunities for law enforcement officers to engage in vehicular pursuits. However, those didn't pass. And my thought was, something's better than nothing. And so yeah, I voted for the bill.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this about, and I was talking about how fascinated I was, and this is similar, I guess, the vote. Like a bare majority of Democrats and, you know, a majority of Republicans to get that bipartisan. It's kind of like half and half. And then the other bill we were talking about was the drug possession bill, which I followed and you voted for, and you were vocal on the House floor. Did you have an amendment that got voted down also on that?
We had a series of amendments. Yeah. I did offer an amendment myself. Basically, in that particular bill, there were a lot of options for pretrial diversion for drug possession, which I support. But then if someone didn't complete all those steps, the prosecutor had the option of like cycling them back through the whole process. I thought basically if they didn't complete all their steps or they had a violent offense, they should basically then advance to the prosecution stage of that. Because that whole drug possession bill, and I still voted for it because I believe it struck the right balance between having a helping hand of compassion and a stronger, heavier hand of accountability. So I do think when it comes to drug possession, we need to make sure we're trying to get people the help that they need so they don't injure themselves or others. But also I think the criminal justice system and the prosecutors need some options related to jail time as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it just doesn't work. But you're right, Jason, both of those bills narrowly passed. The drug possession bill passed the Senate with a vote of 28-21. And keep in mind, it takes 25 votes to pass. And yesterday, on the police pursuits bill, it passed the Senate by a vote of 26-23. And like you had mentioned, there were Democrats voting against it, Republicans voting against it, but also a collection of Republicans and Democrats voting for it. And my thought is, when it came to this police pursuits, of course, I would just rather return it to the original law that was in place back in 2021. But that's not really the option here. And as one of my colleagues said, she said she was voting for it. I say, you know, something's better than nothing. She was saying anything is better than what we have now. And one of my Democratic colleagues who voted for it said, you know, I'm proud that we're taking this step because it is an incremental step. It is progress. But then I said, yeah, it's progress, but it was kind of like we took three steps back and now we're taking only one step forward. So it just all depends on kind of how you look at it. But when I try to, speaking of looking at things, when I'm making a decision on legislation, I try to look at it, you know, when you go into the optometrist and you're getting fitted for eyeglasses and they put these lenses in front of you and say, is this one better or is this one worse? And you're like, well, it's better. No, it's worse. Better or worse? Better or worse? So when this bill was in front of me on police pursuits, I couldn't really think too much about what the law was a few years ago. I had to think about what is the law right now. And is this proposal in front of us, Senator Dinger's striking amendment, better or worse than what we have now? And it is clearly better. And so I voted for it.
Yeah, that's a lot to go through. And just the fascinating divide there, inner party divide, you know, between Democrats and themselves and Republicans and themselves. And going back to the one bill with the drug possession, case in point, you voted for it. You had reservations, but you voted for it. It was Shelley Short, the adjoining Eastern Washington district here, the 13th, and she voted against it. I'm going to imagine she wanted, you know, stiffer penalties, whereas on the Democratic side, when they voted against it, they wanted to pretty much do away with, you know, having criminalizing drug possession. So all this is just really fascinating stuff.
Now, it is interesting. One more thing I wanted to mention, like one of the amendments on the police pursuits bill was to authorize police pursuits for stolen vehicles. Okay. And because under Senator Dingra's striking amendment, that was not one of the options for reasonable suspicion. It was only like violent offenses and things. We debated that amendment that we offered on stolen vehicles, and it failed. And so basically, we kind of think we're sending the wrong message to criminals. Like, we're emboldening them, like they can steal cars and we won't pursue. But Senator Dingra was trying to make the case, the difference between property damage, like a stolen car, and a potential loss of human life engaged in vehicle pursuit. So it was a very interesting debate yesterday.
Yeah, that's great. So what else is, we've got a couple of things that are on your table. One of them, of course, the regional sports complex, and then the other one that on your website were talking about there. I can't remember what that one is.
Well, I had a 10th grade running start bill, but the Senate Majority Leader was the one person that didn't like that. So that one did not make it out. That was one of the ones that was died in the cutoff yesterday. But what the other bill that made it through was Senate Bill 5001, and that's the Regional Sports Complex Bill. It's actually scheduled for a hearing on Tuesday before the House Local Government Committee.
And you're going to go testify, I'm going to guess.
Yes, and I've been talking with Mayor Koontz last night and Mayor Crawford. We have a really impressive letter that the Port District has organized.
Yes.
I should get it to you for your website, but the latest letter has about 7 different logos on it. Chelan County, Douglas County, City of Wenatchee, City of East Wenatchee, the Wenatchee Valley Chamber, Confluence Health, and Link Transit, the Transportation Council. There's a lot of local governments in support of having this option. You know, it's basically, if you're a local government person, Senate Bill 5001 is a great option to kind of help local governments partner together to explore an option to do something potentially regionally to realize some efficiencies. And ultimately, it would go to the voters if that's what the local governments decide to do, to go for a public vote. So there's a lot of local control and kind of a local collaboration built into my bill. And now I'm kind of starting to shift gears because I need to focus on how we can get this bill moving through the House. And I know a lot of the House members that passed their bills out of the House, now they're shifting gears and trying to figure out, okay, what committee is my bill going to? The advantage I have with Senate Bill 5001 is it was one of the earlier bills to pass the Senate, and so now it's already scheduled for a hearing on Tuesday. And some of the bills that passed the Senate just yesterday, you know, they're trying to play catch up. So it's a long process. And then once we cross over this major cutoff date, the next major cutoff date is to adjourn the session. The session is scheduled for 105 days. And now a lot of the focus will be on the 3 budgets, the operating budget, the transportation budget, and the capital budget. I have priorities in each, one of which, for example, in transportation is getting Confluence Parkway scheduled. So we're going to try to get that done between now and the end of session.
You're going to try to get that enumerated right there up front so that we know that it's directed right here to the Confluence Parkway, I think.
Right. No, not only get it named specifically for Confluence Parkway, but get it phased and allocated in the budget cycles that it needs to be. The 2022 Move Ahead Washington 16-year transportation package was approved last year, but it didn't have what transportation folks call an aged and phased project list. So all the projects were identified, the funding was identified, but it didn't have them scheduled for which biennium that they would need to be constructed. Now, Confluence Parkway, the governor and the DOT have identified funding, the $85 million, apportioned over 6 years, so 3 budget cycles. And I'm working with my Senate transportation chair to make sure that the Senate transportation proposal for Confluence Parkway aligns with what the governor and WashDOT proposed over those next 6 years. But it would begin, the funding would begin in 2023 and through 2025, which is the budget cycle that we're developing.
All right, very good. That's all the time we have for it. All this has been very fascinating. You've got your work cut out for you, Senator Hawkins, working hard. So keep it up, and we'll be watching closely, and we'll have you on again in a couple of weeks, Senator Hawkins. Brad Hawkins from the 12th District Republican, thanks for being with us this morning, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And once I catch up on a little bit of sleep, I think I'll be more coherent. So look forward to talking with you in future weeks.
It's great.